When Zeus came to power, there was not much he did not desire. And no one did he desire more than the goddess Asteria, daughter of the Titans Coeus and Phoebe. Asteria and her then pregnant sister Leto, goddess of the witchcrafts, tried to flee from Zeus, but no place on earth was out of reach for the god king of Olympus. So Asteria turned herself into a wandering island, hidden from the eyes and hands of Zeus. Here, her sister could birth two children, Apollo and Artemis. And many years passed, and the island started to inhabit life. Halflings, orcs, elves, and humans. Yes, many creatures grew from the island. Some of them even blessed with the magic and witchcraft of Leto. But Artemis and Apollo feared that one day Zeus would find them. So they created a weapon of tremendous power, in case the unspeakable would occur. But the sheer power of this weapon shined like a beacon to every god and every titan in the world. Asteria and Leto were furious and casted Apollo and Artemis in a prison deep, deep below the island, and broke the weapon into 6 pieces. But the damage was done. And now there's a shift in the winds in Asteria as Zeus draws closer to the island. However, the Sisters of Fate has sprung the most curious of threats, and it seems now the future of Asteria is in the hands of some unlikely heroes.
Look, I don't care if he sucked Celestine's dick for this insight. There is no way he could know this without spying on us. Come on, guys.
This is their story. Welcome to Lost in Asteria, a D&D podcast with a serious story about silly people. Here we play Dungeons & Dragons, a collective storytelling game where the players are the heroes of their own adventure. So sit down, relax, and listen to stories from the world of Asteria. And in the center of Asteria, we find a large city, a capital of the island, Havenspire. It's a baffling and noisy and chaotic metropolis of a city. A city filled with strange creatures, tieflings, orcs, elves, humans, and much, much more. And in this busy city, we find a small shop with the name of the Zodiac Club. A horoscope enthusiast club of sorts where people can discuss horoscopes, and zodiac signs, stars, stellar constellations of all kind. But there's no customers in this shop. It's completely empty besides the owner, alone. And what is he up to?
In the center of the room sits a young guy, meditating, calmly saying out some zodiac signs for himself, whispering zodiac signs. Aries, Scorpio. I don't know anymore. I'm Astralan Moonshadow, a human ranger.
Right.
Who's obsessed with zodiac signs.
Obsessed, like.
Obsessed.
Yes, but just those 4 or 5 you mentioned.
Yes.
Not the rest of them. No. Just those
four. He only knows 4 or 5.
And you're suddenly disturbed. As a knock on the door.
Come in.
In walks a tall human with a full plate of armor, a long sword, and a shield on his back. He has dark curly hair, and he walks into the door frame. Oh, sorry, Astro. I forgot how small your door is.
Oh yes, hello, Charles. I remember you, big guy.
So. Your reading last night for my star signs, they were totally correct.
They always are.
Yes, they always are. How do you do it? You must tell me your secret.
There's a way for everyone. You know that, Charles.
Yes, I know. You have told me many times. And I hope that we find the right path for me.
And suddenly another knock comes. Well, actually not one, just two. Like, clearly two people in knocking, but they didn't decide which one is the one who knocks. So there was like two awkward knocks right after each other.
You see a less than 1 meter tall man with a decidedly light green hue to his skin and dark green hair. He looks like a child until you notice the contrastingly red eyes. Eyes that have seen some stuff and somehow convey the feeling that they will see a lot more stuff. On the side of his head is a white expressionless mask with an elongated beak.
Next to him is standing a regular-sized tiefling. So a purple skin, male character with horns in his head, white hair, red eyes and a tail. And then he has a grin and a smile on his face that takes all the darkness away.
Okay. So you knock and you enter the room.
I was promised food. I think there's food somewhere.
Yes, good friends. I have food, but we'll wait for the other guys to arrive first.
Aww.
But could I offer you some mint wine?
Well, I don't mind mint wine.
Sure.
Wait, what's mint wine?
Wine with mint taste.
Wait, you just regular wine and you just put a lot of mint in it?
Yes.
Very
mint
delicious.
Wine.
Yeah, you get that. And you serve it to a desk, to a guest. How is it?
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's very bad.
Yeah, I can imagine it's like super bad and you're just like drinking it, trying to like keep a straight face. Like, no, that's super good. So now this meet and greet session for this horoscope type organization is starting to take place, right? Take form. And you're all like gathering around and discussing your zodiac signs and your future and stuff like this. And then suddenly another knock comes on the door. Another guest enters. And who is in the door?
It's a human. A human male. Pretty average build. Kind of, he has a long black hair, brown eyes, and he's very tan. And he's dressed in a robe made of rags and covered in dust. As he walks in, he just looks around, and so I was promised food. I think it stands here on this flyer. Is that right?
Ah, yes. You must be Galdrish the Capricorn. Yes, yes, yes. Of course. We have food, but we're waiting for the other people first. The food will be served soon. We're just waiting for a few more people. Could I give you some mint wine while you're waiting, like the other guys just got?
I'm sorry, but I don't think I know what wine is. We don't have. That where I come from?
It's called mint wine.
Mint wine, yes. But what is wine?
It's okay, we have water as well.
Oh, sounds lovely.
You should really try some wine at one point, but not this one.
It's always important to have an alcohol-free option for yes. these meet and greets.
But what is wine?
Fermented grape.
Well, I think I haven't been fortunate enough to experience this so-called wine.
What do you mean so-called wine? Like, you never heard about wine in your entire life, and then someone brings you a liquid you've never seen, and it's wine, and you're like, okay, let's call it that, wine, if that's what you're saying. Like, you
have poison.
No trust in this.
It's not that I don't have trust, but it's a liquid I haven't heard of before.
Yeah, and you don't believe that's the name of it?
Nope.
It's like, that's not, that, yes, it sure has another name.
That's a stupid name.
I roll inside to see if it's actually called wine.
Okay, roll.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
Wait, what do you mean? What did you roll?
One, but not on that one. Just
you,
one.
You suddenly like was in doubt as well, because obviously you always thought it was wine, but you was always, maybe people made a bit fun of you in the past. So you were fearing like, only like, damn, did someone just like, tell me that this was called wine my entire life and that's not the name of it?
Have I been wrong all these years? Oh, no.
But to be honest, I don't think I've ever had wine like this before.
No, I don't know if this is wine, though.
Yeah,
but
that might be the real question.
Wine.
Yeah.
People don't normally put mint in it. So while you're discussing if wine really exists and if this really is wine and this doubtful meet and greet for horoscope enthusiasts, you suddenly hear a very angry knock on the door.
Someone please open the door.
I open the
before,
door.
Before someone breaks it.
I go up and open the door.
You open the door and who do you see?
In the door stands Arigas, daughter of Felclive, currently a 1-7 bowl of fairly contained anger. Dagger in hand, she eyes the room, tries to look past Charles, who's kind of in the way, and boldly, or maybe stupidly, she tries to like shut past him inside. Oh, sorry. Am I interrupting anything? Which one of you is Astral and Moonshadow?
It's me.
You, right?
Yes.
This, and she sort of pulls out the flyer, is wildly inappropriate. Not only is it inaccurate, okay, like I am definitely not, and she tries to sort of read out the words from the flyer, like a 3-year-old who doesn't want help from anyone. Just, no, that's not me. But also, it's just personal enough that I would like an explanation as to why you are stalking me.
Oh, so you're here to join the club as well?
What?
The club. The Zodiac Club.
No, I'm not here to join your club. I'm here to find out why I have a personal stalker and also kind of how.
Exactly, that's a meet and greet.
Yeah,
a classic meet and greet between stalker and stalky.
Look, I don't care. There is no way you could know this without spying on me.
Ah, I see everybody is here now. Very good. Before we get started, I'll like everybody to give some 10 gold to lead the way. Let me lead the way easily, or maybe just pay house rent for this.
Of course, Astro. And I give you 10 gold.
Thank you.
Yeah, no. I heard free food, not 10 gold expensive food.
The food is free, but the house rent is not. Nothing is free in this world.
Trust me, he's worth it.
But what does he actually do?
Tells your future.
No, he stalks people, apparently.
He's pretty accurate about the star sign, but...
I know! Yeah. That's what I'm telling you. How gullible are you?
So... What did your star sign say?
That's not important. What's important is that this guy is stalking all of us and you just gave him 10 gold.
I don't think he's stalking us, but you cannot be mad about a future seer telling you who you are if he's right. It's not because he stalks you, it's because he sees it in the stars.
I don't care if he sucked Celestian's dick. For this insight. There is no way he could know this without spying on us. Come on, guys.
And what if I sucked Celestial's dick?
God damn
it. I mean, you can't blame people for what they're into.
Jesus. All right.
But Silas, I'm really going to need 10 gold if we have to give him.
Yeah, that's a problem. I don't have 20. I didn't sell that many corpses to you guys.
Oh.
So far, so good for the Zodiac Club, but I think it's time to learn a little bit about who's on this podcast. My name is Villas and I'm your Dungeon Master, and I would like to introduce you to our cast. We have Mikkel, Morten, Anne, Chris, Jung and Simon, but let's break them down one by one.
Hi, my name is Mikkel and I'm playing the character Rises Plus, the necromancer who is cheerful to the bone and smile that shines even darker than the crypt.
Hi, my name is Morten, and I play the leech-loving, plague-doctorish monk named Silas.
Hello, I'm Anna. I play Arikas, a half-elf rogue who tries poorly to deal with her problems by putting up an attitude.
Hi, my name is Chris, and I play Astral and Moonshadow, a ranger deeply fascinated by the zodiac signs.
Hi, I'm Chung. I play Galdric Gullibly, an exiled human cleric who's on his path for redemption so he might return home someday.
Hey guys, my name is Simon, and I'm playing Charles of Stonehaven, a human fighter trying his best to win his father's approval.
And if you want to get to know these people even more, you can follow us on Instagram at Lost in Asteria. But now, let's get back into the story.
You sell corpses?
No.
Interesting.
How much?
That's depending on how much you got. But I get 10 gold...
No, it's more just how expensive our corpses here.
Oh, yeah, that very much depends on how much gold you have.
It usually does. It usually does. Sorry, I'm not in the
But it's also, right like, now, it depends on the condition of the corpse. Like, how long has it been dead? What type of race is the corpse from? Is it missing, arms or legs? Or, like, there's a lot of stuff that can sort of contribute to the price of the corpse.
Of course. I understand.
Also, what did it die from? That's very important.
I mean, if it was chopped in half, it's a really bad corpse.
Yeah, you can get a 50% discount in that case.
What's your high? What's the highest value corpse a person can get?
Oh, that's a good really, question. Really good question. See, in that case, it's very much like demand, like what you need it for. But the rarer the corpse, like if it's from a dragon or like some kind of big beast, then it's certainly going to be way more expensive than all of the human corpses. Like there's so many of them, there's not enough demand. So
I see. Yeah.
They're cheaper.
Oh, yeah. So suddenly, while you're discussing all these things, you hear another knock on the door. But more desperately, so obviously Erika's knock was angry and frustrated. This one is like, let me in, Astro, please. It's a matter of life and death, you hear.
And I open the door.
You open the door and in there you see your old master in zodiac science and wisdom, Jonathan.
Oh, hello, and, Jonathan.
Oh, hello, Astro. But we haven't time for pleasantries. I'm being followed. Close the door, barricaded. Oh, wait, Astro, I've found something. Something I never thought that I would ever going to see with my own eyes in my life. It is the artifact. You have to hide it. They are right behind me. Take this stick. And he hands you like this. It's not anything like significant. It's like a small wooden stick. And you see like some symbols written on it. But it's nothing you really like recognize or anything. You have to keep it hidden. I have to run. Quickly hide it. And he runs out the door again. And he's gone.
So I quickly close the door behind Jonathan. And then I hand the stick to Charles. Charles, I know you're a big guy. Can you hide it underneath your armor?
I'm afraid it will break if I put it under the armor.
Right, then put it in your pocket. It's way easier.
The second best thing.
I'm going to put it in my pocket.
All right, you do that. After that, you hear another knock on the door. This one is a lot more calm. It's controlled. It's there's plenty of room and space for this person to do their deeds. So no panic, no anger, no frustration. Please, Mr. Astro, could you open the door if you are so very kind?
Yes, of course. Who's there?
It is Mr. Raab.
Mr. Raab. I open the door.
You open the door, and before you see a smaller gentleman of human nature. Not old in particular, but maybe like on the autumn side of life. He's wearing a very fine clothes of sort of a high society standard, and two very large orcs are placed next to him, right in the back, not saying anything. You do actually know who Mr. Raab is. He is a sort of tax collector around these parts. And on his shirt, you see a symbol. A symbol of a full moon. And you recognize it as the Twilight Conclave.
Oh.
Ah, Mr. Astro, I believe that you are late for your rent.
Hello, Mr. Raab. Yes, sorry.
Can I come in, please?
Yes, of course.
He enters the room and says, I see we have a small party, a gathering of sorts. Food and drinks, very nice, Mr. Astro. Yes. So, do you have the money?
I have 30 gold, if that's enough.
But Mr. Astro, that is not sufficient. We know this. We'll see what we can find. And he makes like a hand movement, and suddenly these two like big guys, big orcs, start to go around and is like clearly looking through your room. Like they're not just looking for money. You see clearly that they are like starting to slowly and surely turn the whole place upside down. And he looks over at you. You see, I'm not only here for money today. I'm looking for a certain item. Perhaps you can be of some assistance. A small stick. with some writing on it. You wouldn't happen to have it, would you? And he looks over at... And he looks over at Charles. Who might you be, sir?
I'm Charles of Stonehaven.
Ah, Mr. Stonehaven. You wouldn't have seen a small stick with some writing on it nearby, would you now?
I've seen a lot of small sticks outside, but no one had writing on it.
Okay, roll deception. Oh, wait, no. You're not... Ah, you didn't lie, actually. I see. Let's see if Mr. Raab suspects anything. Let's roll... Ah, okay, a 5 in insight, you see. I see. Well, very well, then. And you, an elf. Rare sight on these parts. You wouldn't have happened to see any stick of such a nature, would you now?
I'm sorry, who are you again? Do you collect texts?
Ah, sorry, I must have forgotten to introduce myself. I am Mr. Raab of the Twilight Conclave. You, of course, do know the Twilight Conclave because you know they supply wine to the Paradise Isles, the Drifting Isles, as you are from.
So Arigaz is definitely intuitively not a fan of this man.
No.
So even though she doesn't really like Astro either, she just crosses her arms and is like, no.
Okay, roll deception.
14.
You barely got away. He's like, I see. Very nice to meet your acquaintance. So the two like goons behind him have like been scrabbling through the room, like obviously like not like turning everything upside down, like pulling the velvet drapes from the walls and such. So you do in fact have the stick hidden very, very good. Very well in your pockets, right? So I think you need to roll a sort of stealth, I would say.
That's a disadvantage because I have a heavy armor on.
Oh, God.
17.
Okay. That's pretty good with disadvantage. Also, Rob and his goons rolled a natural... a natural 1. So in my head, like the stick you've hidden is not really well hidden. Like you have your hand in your pocket and you can clearly see like the shape of your hand and something like... Like long after it and like before it, so it's pretty obvious. But I assume, yeah.
Yeah, I have hidden it as an erection.
Okay, so you've hidden the stick as an erection. And Mr. Rob is like, oh, Mr. Still, and he sort of like clearly he's not used to this sort of encounter, and he's before he was super like confident, like moving around with a like, sort of might, and suddenly he doesn't know what to say, and he's sort of staring at the stick, and realizes, oh damn, I've been staring too long. Now okay, this is weird. I cannot argue like why I've been staring so long at this stick, and then he looks up and realizes that all of you have seen him looking at the sticks for like not just a glance but like a solid 5 seconds. It's that's too long for any like social interaction. He's like, I'll see myself out and sure it's around somewhere. Guys, please follow me. And Mr. Raab and his two goons exits the room of Astro and closes his door on the way out.
So
what is this about?
I hand the stick over to Astro. Do you know what it is?
I have no idea, actually.
Maybe you should do a religion check.
Yes. Wait a minute, guys. There's actually something written on this stick. I thought it was just some small marks in it.
Well, it's a magic stick.
Level 13.
So you have sort of heard about this said artifact, who was supposed to be sort of a weapon of gods, namely Apollo, which is known to be the sun god. And you can maybe realize that the rest of the name most likely is Artemis, which is also a god of the hunt. And you recognize this as sort of as their weapon. It's sort of It's unclear exactly what the weapon is, but it's in many texts just specified as like the artifact, the weapon of Apollo and Artemis. But you don't know much more of what it is. But it becomes extremely clear to you that it must hold great, great power. You also realize that you actually have a book on this very topic. I assume you wanna find it?
Yes.
No.
No.
Okay. So you start reading, and there's not really a lot of information about the artifact, but what you do find out is that, yes, it's said to be broken into many pieces and spread through the land of Asteria, and that it doesn't say where those artifacts are hidden. Of course, then people would have found it or looked for it. But the only clue you do find in the book is that one piece, at least, has been spotted in the Frosthold clan's regions to the north, way up in the ice in the high mountains. So that is so far the only clue you have to find the pieces.
I know where to go, guys. I have an old book. It's like a treasure map. And people have seen it up north, other pieces of this stick.
Well, you say guys, it's just the two of us, right, Astro? Like, why do we need the other guys?
Well, you're not leaving here with that stick without me.
I'm definitely gonna stay for the stick as well.
Same as well, yeah.
Who wouldn't want it? Potentially unlimited power, a long life, never a boring day.
All right, so it seems like everyone here has suddenly a purpose, an idea of where to push forward. You are currently lost in Havenspire with this part of an old artifact. You all gathered by some of you, at least for some of you, by the, like, say, interest in Zodiacs. And while the Twilight Conclave might be right behind you, you do have an advantage that they don't. You have one part of the artifact, and you have an idea of where to go next, far north from Havenspire, through the Crimson Peaks, and to the Frosthold Clan's area. In the ice, you might find your answers. Thank you for listening to the first episode of Lost in Asteria. If you like it, why not recommend it to someone or maybe review it somewhere on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever, your choice. And if you're interested in the characters and how they look and how they behave, you can check out our Instagram. There we'll frequently update posts about the characters, the people behind the cast, and anything Lost in Asteria-esque. All the music that you heard in this podcast is produced by a guy called Ian from Tabletop RPG Music. Check out their Patreon, it's amazing music for Dungeons & Dragons.